welcome to the Hedonistic Way Show. I am Renee Main, and today I'm going to answer the question of, do opposites attract? Can they work long term? What happens when two people come together and opposites do attract? And there is undeniable chemistry, and yet over time, the differences in who you are as people, it feels like a weight. It becomes an issue in your relationship. So can it work long term when you're two very different people, when you have different beliefs, when you have different ways in which you go about life? So the first thing that I want to say here is, this is such a layered concept and exploration. So I'm going to do my best to really tackle it and speak to it from all of those angles from which I have seen within my clinic, within our courses, and what shows up in our experience, as well as my own personal relationship as well. So the first thing that I feel to say is, particularly when you're in a long-term relationship, the reason why or what attracted you to that person in the beginning was very, what you needed at that time was very different to what you need now. And so becoming really aware of what it is that you need right now. For example, in my own relationship, when I first met my partner nearly 25 years ago, I really craved safety. I wanted someone who felt safe, who I could be myself around, because I'd come off of a series of abusive relationships and an upbringing of family violence. So safety was really important. Now, 10, 15, 20, 25 years on, I don't need that safety, right? Yes, I can feel safe within my own body, and I'm responsible for that now. Who I was 25 years ago is very different to who the person I am today. And so what I need and what I crave for within a relationship and from my partner is very different. And so when we are self-sourced, there is less expectations on our partners and our loved ones. And so in that, something that I recognized and something that I've come up with a lot in people who have done, you know, a lot of personal development work, they've got a few certifications up their sleeve, they have, you know, they're in the spirituality, personal development, well-being industry. Then what happens is we can think that we know better, and we, in a relationship where, you know, I've seen a lot of people who, there's two coaches that are together in the relationship, and they don't allow each other to just be, because they're constantly trying to coach each other and invite people into a different way of thinking. Now, it's like you're constantly working in that relationship. And, you know, yes, when you know this stuff, it becomes second nature. But also as well is, I think we forget that part that we're here to be human. And so what I realized is, within even my own relationship, is who am I to think that my way is better? Who am I to even suggest how he should approach life, how he could or should live his life, and what should be important to him. And so I've realized I really took a step back and just allowed him to have his own journey in life. And knowing that my form of meditation will be completely different to his form of meditation, or his form of growth is very different to my form of growth. You know, our commitment to well-being looks very different. How we see the world is very different. That doesn't make me right and him wrong, or vice versa. That just means that we're two very different people having our own personal experience in this life. However, do we share the same values, right? I can't change the way he sees the world. He can't change the way I see the world, and it's not our responsibility to, right? But do we share values? Are we both committed to this relationship? They're the questions that we really want to ask ourselves, right? What is it that I need from this partner right now? And do they have the capacity to give that to me, or do I need to give that to myself? So earlier I mentioned being completely self-sourced. Now, 25 years ago, I was 21. Was I capable of, I was a strong-ass, fierce, pretty determined woman, but cultivating safety in my body after growing up with family violence and then domestic violence in my own relationship, safety wasn't something that I could cultivate within myself. And so now as we mature and as we evolve and grow, we are on our own journey, right? That quest is a quest for self-intimacy, right? To give ourselves everything that we need. And if we're not taking the time to cultivate our inner world, and our states in which we feel and see the world and experience the world, if we're not taking time, what I would say, in devotion, whether it's meditation or tapping or embodiment, somatic processing, whatever it is, then if you're a sensitive person, then it's really easy to get sucked into someone else's field. Right? So if we're not consciously aware of how we're showing up, and if we're not self-responsible in how we're showing up to become that dominatrix of our lives and submissive to the universe, to inhabit heaven no matter where we're standing and what's going on around us, we are going to be absolutely swept up in everybody else's shit show, right? So if your partner is someone who is, you know, like I know my partner is someone who stresses a lot, right? Who it takes a lot of work for him to approach things in a calm way. He will see more probably negative in the world than, not always, no, a little bit more positive. He's a very positive person, but he does have that window of negativity. And dare I say, even victim consciousness. And so if I was not strong in who I am, and if I didn't take the time to cultivate the energy and the state of being in which I want to live and feel and experience life, then because we've been together 25 years, so yes, we agree and see things, you know, a lot of things very, you know, the same or, you know, similar. But there's a lot of things that we just don't. And so I would never want to live in that from a place of not being calm, of having a short fuse. It's something that, like, even just thinking about it, you know, it's my nervous system feels like, oh God, like, ooh, it's a bit ick. So yeah, like, it's on us, right? And navigating that space of us cultivating and being so anchored in the state of being and the energy in which we want, we genuinely want to show up in the world, to tuning into our own source and being, allowing ourselves to be in the world and being guided by source instead of wavering to the energy and the collective and what's going on around us. And so it requires us being fierce with our energy. And so, and this may be a partner, this also, this, you know, this is friends, this is family, this is, you know, everyone who, in which we interact with. And so what I try to do is I try to be mindful of those moments where someone says something and, you know, I have a tendency to just go, yeah, like, and agree. And so now I have, I think it was Louise Hay who said in one of her books, and I'm paraphrasing here, but if someone else says something to you and it doesn't resonate with you, instead of taking it on, we can consciously, internally say to ourselves, it may be that way for you, but it's not that way for me, right? And sometimes I will say, you know, I will open up the invitation to express a different way of thinking, right? Or this is, you know, are you open to, this is how I would open up. This is my offering to you. This is my opinion to you. Are you open to that? And other times I will just let them have their own experience and just acknowledge, wow, yeah, I feel, I can see that, I can feel that that really means a lot to you. And let them have their own experience. And once I was able to do that, then it created more space where I could just be 100% responsible for my own joy, my own happiness, my own pleasure, my own connection to source. And he, excuse me, and he can do and be responsible for his, right? And what happened was it took so much pressure off me, and really it allowed me to get hit with the humility stick, because I honor everyone's path, or at least I try to. I honor everyone's path, everyone's experience, and I try to be non-judgmental and as accepting as what I can, and not be as delusional in thinking that my way is the best way or my way is the only way in which, you know, we should see the world or be in the world. And sometimes people just grow apart. Sometimes contracts do end and they're not the person who you're destined to be with for the rest of your life. But sometimes when we're through this, you know, and this is just a really an evolution of relating that I find is a really, if it can feel like a bit of a sticky spot, but letting them have their own experience, I know within my relationship and a lot of relationships that that I've worked with within the school, a lot of them, it's been a pivotal moment that this has actually brought them closer together, because they can become intimate in a way and they can enjoy a union in a way because there's less expectations on each other. And so it can also be a very exciting time within your relationship. So there's that there. But what I will say is there's work to do. Right? There's work to do. There's work to do on yourself. There's conversations to be had to each other. And it can look like I'm feeling like I'm wavering in who I am. I'm feeling the need, I'm feeling judgmental of you, or I'm expecting you to be this when I know that that's not who you are, right? You know, what's that quote about what did the woodchuck, I'm going to completely butcher it. What did the woodchopper do once he became enlightened? He went back and he chopped wood. Like, and so we continue doing the same thing in our lives because once we're enlightened, then we really do respect everyone else's choices and their own path and their own decisions in which they show up in the way, in the world. And so something that I have noticed is the more that you put all of your energy into being the most succulent and savage and delicious and soft and sexy person that you can be and not even worry about them, then that's when they really begin to go, oh, hang on a minute. They become curious about what you're doing. And that's not why, that's not the intention is or the reason why we go and go about being succulent and savage. It's just one of the byproducts of, right? And I think that that's a part of being a creator. That's the part of being someone who's sensitive, who feels energetics, and who is, you know, who's in the world, who sees the unseen, is it's really easy for us to get swept up in another world. So staying strong to who you are and letting them have their own experience with life as well. So there's a lot in that episode, and I really hope that it helps you and that you can find some peace and resolution and some next steps in which to move forward. I'll talk to you soon, everybody. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to this epic conversation. I am Renee Main, and I am over and out for now.